Hey, what's up? It's the Black and Jew podcast episode. I'm going to get it right. 44? 44? Is it episode 44?
Yes, it is.
There we go. Awesome. See that? Listeners, sometimes I do get it right. 44, episode 44. Now we're in our mid, we've been in our mid 40s. We're 44 now. We're more established. We've been established for a while now. And we're just.
What
we're
happens when
like
we get to 110? We're like, we're the oldest person alive. If we make it to 200, we're like, I am eternal.
we just become an energy being, and then like we evolved. Around 500 is when we're like, what is, you know, we're stars now or something, or like we're tachyons and we're helping people, or we're the wind. I don't know.
Tachyons. We are the wind. Black and Jew podcast. We hath become.
So today's a special day. Today's a very special day because it's the first night of me and Alan and I hosting Casa de Jaja. That's right.
Solo?
Yes, solo. It's just me and him just doing it. Just like me and him, Casa de Jaja, doing that stuff.
I am so happy to hear that, Reginald.
I'm very happy to hear that. I'm excited. And I am very, like, I'm looking forward to this. This is really good, and I can't wait to, like, do it. And I have a lot of big ideas in store, a lot of things that I want to improve upon, a lot of things I want to keep, a lot of things I want to, like,
oh,
not
shit,
do
you're
anymore.
Kicking Reskin's ass to the curb. You're like, this my show now. We doing it Reggie's way.
Reggie's way has a lot of, no, Reskin did a good, he did a good show.
You're like, yeah, he did all right, but when why fucking take the reins, this horse is going to, saddle, I don't know,
I'm
Western,
gonna make
I can't
this
make
show
Western
make me
analogies.
Money, that's right, I'm going to make everybody pay, yeah. No longer free comedy show,
$30,
free. Fuck that,
$30,
this is a quality mic, you think you're getting in for free, check again, all right, daddy's got bills to pay. I'm just really excited for tonight, because tonight Alan and I are hosting, and tonight it's, you know, I just can't get over how, like,
tonight,
how excited I am.
Tonight, Casa de, I don't know how the rest of that song goes.
Thank goodness. Obviously. You don't know how the rest of that song goes.
Fuck
you.
I did
not
a great,
know.
Great job. Great job.
You did.
Wonderful job.
So yeah, I got a lot of big ideas. I want to make it. I want to see, like, Casa de Jaja is already established. It's been running for since 2008.
It's an institution. It's a Miami comedy institution.
Exactly. It's an institution. Now I don't need to do anything to change it. I just need to do things to improve it.
Yeah.
Like that's my main concern. Like moving forward from this month. Like to whenever I stop hosting it,
yeah,
I need to set up a good infrastructure. Like I need to set up improvements. I need to like elevate it, and like one of the ideas I have. Well, this is a long term goal. I was in class today, and the class was boring, so I was outlining all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that would really put Casa on the map is if it became like a touring comic destination, which is kind of like hard and kind of a weird thing to like just say out loud like that.
Yeah.
But like if like let's just say someone like Kyle Kinane like mm-hmm. was touring, he'd go to the West Palm, he'd go to like, you know, the Hard Rock. And then since there's no established place, I want to make Casa de Jaja that place where Kyle Kinane goes.
So you think he'll stick around in Miami until Tuesday? To do the show?
Don't, Kyle.
Not to throw a wrench in your ears or anything,
you
but
missed
I'm just saying.
You missed last month's. I'm telling you, if you come next month, the theme is wear shorts. You know, while you're up on stage, it's going to be a lot of fun. Just please come over, come down. No. I obviously want
You'll
to,
sell
like,
him on the shorts.
Yeah, I'll sell them on the show. I'll sell them on the theme nights. It's at a record store. Have you ever done comedy in a record store? Oh, L.A.? Okay, yeah, you've done all your comedy at a record store. I understand.
I don't know of any comedy shows in record stores here, to be honest.
Oh, really? Nice.
No, I don't.
Nice.
A lot of times it's like in restaurants that have really bad reviews on Yelp.
Are the reviews bad because of the restaurant's food or the comedy?
It's the restaurant's food. They're like, we waited an hour for the mozzarella sticks and they were greasy. I was talking to this one.
But that callback was sick, though. That was a great callback. But these mozzarella sticks were horrible.
Yeah, I was talking. I forget what the name. This dude, Sam, I forget his last name. I was talking to him and he's like, yeah, you know, I look at a review on Yelp and it's like, oh, the mozzarella stick sucks and this place is horrible. Oh, that's where the open mic is.
Pasta was horrible, but those impressions, delicious, great. 5 stars. Don't go for the food. Go for the comedy show.
Go for the, and probably not even that, so. Yeah. These lists, man, these lists here are fucking long. It's crazy. I was number 47 last night.
You're 47?
40. And want to hear something funny? I had a bit about how these like staying out late in open mics is going to destroy my relationship, right? And when I told it at home, when I was just figuring it out before I went up and did it, I was like, yeah, it's like, hey, sweetie, you're going to be home for dinner. No, sorry, I'm number 47. And then I went out and I was number 47. I got called number 47.
Ooh, eerie. Should you be playing with that?
Fuck you, Reggie. I thought it was pretty funny and just a sense of little dramatic irony, you know.
That's hilarious. I've never even touched the biggest number I've ever had was 25. Yeah. I've never seen a list go past like 30 up here. Like, I mean,
yeah,
down here.
Yeah, they really don't. Which is
47.
Yeah, 47. I was 66 the week before, but there were 16 less people this week. Apparently, the thing about New Year's, they say is true, that people have their New Year's resolution to do comedy. So they go up and they're like, oh, this is really sad. It's not anything like watching Louis C.K. on TV. Fuck this.
It's not anything like funny people said it would be like, ooh, yeah. this is not nice.
Even like
these mozzarella sticks suck.
Even a dingy bar show with 10 people is way better than the shit that you have to do, like the open mics and stuff, you know, which isn't to dump on the open mic hosts and the venues and shit, because those people are the shit for fucking staying there. Like, you know, you gotta like the host has to stay there and call off 66 names. Like, fuck yeah for them. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I did last night? I went to go sign up. I ate dinner. I went to another show. I came back and I had time to do all of that and then still go up. I was like, I got there like 8 comics before me.
That's amazing. That's great. Yeah. You know what? I love that. That's like it's like a reserve show. Where am I on this list? I'm 70th. All right, cool. I have a good one where I'm 66 on the other one. I have one where I'm 5th. I can go to the 5th one, catch dinner, watch an episode of SBU with Christine, then make it in time for both shows.
There are a lot of adjectives I'd use to describe that, but great would not be one of them, actually. There are others, but maybe not great. Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of shows. Like, and then there's this whole improv. Like, I'm getting into improv now. It's a totally different scene. There's like a whole new scene. I became Facebook friends with this improv dude, and we only have one mutual friend in common. So just evidenced by that, right? I'm just going to go ahead and say that that the scenes don't overlap.
Yeah.
There's a
lot of degree of difference.
I added someone on Facebook, this comic, and he, I saw he had Irene Morales and Will Watkins, and I'm like, oh, how do you know Irene and Will? And he's like, oh, I just Facebook friend random comics. And I'm like, oh, interesting. That's how that happens. I get weird about Facebook friending people, you know? Like, especially other comics.
Too.
But you kind of have to, because that's where you find out about the shows and shit, especially here, you know?
That is that's also very true here. One, yeah. My Facebook like friend, like, oh, accept this friend request like tab, it has 14 people on it right now.
Yeah.
Like, there's 14 individuals that like claim to know me, want to know me, or like have seen me somewhere.
Yeah.
And they all want to be my friend. And I have not said yes or not now or anything to them. One, Facebook friend requests never leave, and I think that's kind of creepy.
It is.
You say not now, and they're like, we'll just put it away. Maybe you'll see them later. And then maybe you'll say yes. And then they reappear like, oh, did you put this away? There was no more space in the friend purgatory that we have. So we'll just put it back here. And I am so weary about adding people.
There's I don't know, man. I feel like if I see someone with a microphone in their hand, I'll add them.
Thanks.
That's my general rule. I always follow back comics on Twitter unless they're like really, really... Nah, even then, even if they're really horrible, I'll still probably follow them back, you know? Got to have that comedy solidarity, motherfucker.
There's a person who... there's like... It might be a bot or like the scam thing that like sent me a friend request. I go to the page and I look at the picture, and then there's a watermark at the bottom right corner of the picture that says jailbait.com.
Wow, that's very subtle.
And just 2 days ago, I shit you not, it was jailbait.com's birthday, and people from my graduating class were saying happy birthday to Jailbait.
Yeah, I love when you get a friend request from like a hot girl that's obviously fake, and then you see you have like 12 mutual friends that are just like 12 of your most gullible friends that are like, oh, cool.
12 of my most gullible guy friends.
Yeah.
I've seen accounts where like I know these people, like I'm like separated by like 5-6 friends from them, but I know them, and they're hitting on these fake accounts. They like leave cute messages on
your friends
pictures.
Do that? That's fucking amazing. I love it. I love it.
But you need to stay connected in Facebook when it comes to comedy, especially here. There's like here, since it's tiny, everyone knows each other and everyone has each other for a friend. So if someone says something troublesome or problematic, everyone catches wind of it. So that's the one aspect where like, oh, it's very interesting to do that.
I love the Facebook comedy drama. I love the Facebook comedy drama. Cause it's like, I don't know. It's probably the only reason that I go on Facebook anymore. It's because it's incredibly entertaining to watch people shit on each other. You know?
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing better than going on Facebook and then seeing someone say some incendiary comment or innocuous comment. It's even better when it's like an innocuous comment and then like there's 50 comments and you're like, oh, what happened here?
That is
what
great.
Transgressed here?
What's, And, like, there's also, like, these weird trends in, like, the Miami comedy scene over Facebook. Like, you'll have these weird spikes in, like, in-jokes or, like, these things that people are talking about.
Yeah.
I think one of them right now, I have, my friend Abe is totally connected in on this. He's connected into, like, the Portland comedy subreddit. They have their own subreddit, which I think is pretty cool. Like, it's everybody connected in there. And then he's also, like, heavy into, like, the Facebook scene of Miami.
Yeah.
And then I think it's like there's this one comic called Ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. Like making I heard that guy. Yeah. I've heard of that guy. Yeah, I've met him before.
I've seen him before, too.
Yeah, me
too. He's the guy that like handcuffs a bottle of Hennessy to him, right?
I've just seen him with solely the handcuffs. With not handcuffed to anything, just wearing the handcuffs.
I've seen him handcuff a bottle of Hennessy to him.
That's
which.
Good.
Which I don't know how that works, because Hennessy has no other, like, if you handcuff it, there's no end. Like,
hey, he's talented, man. What can I say? It's a talent.
So apparently,
to be able
Ridiculous
to do
is making big moves. Yeah.
What moves is he making? I'm curious to hear about the big moves that he's making. Is this, are you being sarcastic right now?
Partly.
Yeah.
Part of it is like, I mean, I'm being sarcastic, and the other part is like, I think I remember Abe telling me something, but I can't recall it, so I don't want to discredit Ridiculous all the way. Although his stage presence is very interesting.
Yeah.
So you gotta stay connected. Stay connected. Don't friend any improv comics or something.
That's the moral. That's what you guys should take away from this.
That's what you listeners should take away from that.
Improv's so different than stand-up, too. It's like two completely different skill sets, even though they seem sort of similar. I was talking to an improviser, and he was like, and I was trying to convince him to do stand-up because it would help him. There's few people that I would try to convince to do stand-up, but I'm like, hey, if you like to do that, do this. Fuck it. Hey, everyone says I'm really funny in my office. No, maybe just stay funny there. Just please do not come out. One thing I wanted to talk about in the news is the Charlie, how do you pronounce it, Hebdo? Charlie Hebdo shooting? The thing in France. I don't know how to pronounce it. But
it's a satirical magazine that recently got attacked, and it's all over the news. And yeah, which, by the way, hearts go out to all of them. It was
That's horrible.
Hearts
man.
Go out to also. Let's not forget the Boko Haram Nigeria.
Yeah,
about around like 2,000 Nigerians were.
It's fucking crazy.
Killed
man.
Or severely wounded. So
The internet's a little bit more upset about censorship. Because they want to be able to make their incendiary misspelled comments without worrying about being attacked by Islamic extremists. So there's one aspect of this that I wanted to talk about, right? It's that people calling on moderate Muslims to speak out. But really, like, I was thinking about it. Is it really their job to do that, you know?
That's like asking, like, hey... You white person, Ted Bundy killed a lot of people.
Yeah.
You better speak up for all your serial killers.
Or even more specific, like Christians. It's like, hey, Christian guy, you fucking, you know, like Christian guy. Like, you know, the KKK, they're Christian. They claim to be Christian, whatever. Like, is it some Christian's responsibility to speak out against? Or another example I heard is like, you know, is it a Catholic's job to speak out against pedophiles? Like, no, you know, like if you really look at it in the grand scheme of things, like, yeah, there's a lot of Muslim extremists, but you know, like what's the percentage, you know, of crazy Muslims? Maybe it's a little higher than other religions, but I don't know, you know, because
I mean, what were you gonna say?
I heard another perspective on Reddit that sounded pretty interesting, that some guy was like, they don't want you to accept the religion. They want to polarize it as much as possible to get more people on their side. They want to be ostracized, you know? And I think there's a lot of racial tension in Paris, because I think like, and remember when there was those protests in France a little while ago? I think part of the problem is that we don't have as much in the United States is like, I don't think they try to integrate at all. You know, like in the United States, we teach people Spanish in school, right? Cause we have a lot of South American immigrants. They don't fucking teach Arabic in French schools, you know?
Yeah. Like, so like that's not French a thing. Schools, like French society has always been very hard to integrate into.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
they have one of the strictest, like, naturalization laws in all of Europe.
Uh-huh.
Like it's very difficult for like outsiders, you know, for foreigners to come into France and then establish and integrate themselves. Like, let's not even like that's just that. Then there's the whole like living in a brand new country that adds on to that. Like, and then there's this there's a new like national movement spearheaded by this woman whose father was the former head of this movement.
Yeah.
You know, well, I wish we could pull up. Can you pull up the name?
I can pull it. I got the internet here on my side.
Thanks.
What's the name? What am I Googling?
I forget this woman's name, but she's like she wasn't invited to the walk to the march.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the one that the U.S. didn't send a higher level official to, and then she's spinning that. She's a very clever politician, and she knows what she's doing. But like, there's
Holland,
a movement.
Wow. You said you gave me the worst thing to go on ever, the worst description. And this one says Holland asked Netanyahu not to attend Paris Memorial March. Is that it?
No. I was just listening to this on the car ride. Dang it. Well, look.
I love your way of bringing up news. You're like, there was a guy that did a thing. Fuck, why don't I remember the name?
Thing.
That's how we always bring him. Fuck, why don't I remember? Some guy. Just give the vaguest description possible.
I believe her name is, okay, it's like this new national party that's making big, that's making, like, has a big backing behind it.
Yeah.
And, like, her father recently came out and said, like, we had told you this before. This is what happens when you have, like, such, you know, liberal borders. And, like, mm-hmm. you know, they're using this attack to push their own agenda. And that is... and
they're like a nationalist party or something?
Yeah, yeah.
I think nationalism is great, you know? I think nationalism is great. I think socialism is great. I think we should have a party that combines the best of nationalism and socialism. Have like a national socialist party, right? What could go wrong there?
just take the good parts of everything and put it here.
Nationalism is great. Socialism is great. You know, we could have a flag with like maybe a rune on it or something, you know? Just, I don't see in Europe, you know, that could go great. You know, just have a nationalist socialist party. Maybe we could shorten it to something snazzy. You know, like NASI, except change the S to a Z. We'll just call them Nazis. And then, you know, it's fine. Then this hasn't backfired in Europe before. I don't see what could go wrong.
So thank you. That was very good. Your improv classes are
okay,
paying off.
Here we go. France's far right National Front political party leader, Marine Le Pen, arrives to attend a meeting at the Elysee. So it's this. National Front. Oh, National Front. Jesus Christ. Could you try to sound a little bit less like Nazis when you have a nationalist party in Congress? Like, could you sound a little bit less like Nazis? I like the idea that, like, oh, it's the immigrants ruining our country. Yeah, do they have the most power or is it you guys? I think it's the white people. I love when people say that, like, the Negroes are ruining America. Oh, really? Because, it's pretty white, that Congress. I think that they're the ones running America. So,
so she's trying to spin this as like a, as like she's trying to call to arms all the people that like have already had like this like little inkling of like, yeah, oh, we need stronger like border protection and all that stuff. We need to like close off like ourselves and protect ourselves more. And then, you know, that's what they're pushing. That's their agenda. Mm-hmm. And that just alienates more people.
No, that's going to work. Totally going to work. You can just stop immigration, you know, like that totally has worked ever somewhere, you know. You can usually keep them from coming out, like you can keep them from coming out usually, like North Korea, you know,
that
or Cuba. Look at Cuba, you know, they said don't leave and nobody does. So,
and no,
you could totally close your borders. Yeah, yeah, totally easy. Works out easy. Keep the Muslims out.
Lemon squeezy.
Yep.
So that's just gonna further alienate people,
and just make them want to shoot more things. You know, like the because it's so segregated there. You know, like you have your little banlieues, you know, the Parisian version of the hood, where the Muslims sit in their shitty fucking public housing that they're given, you know, and then are able to foment racism. Like that's a thing I think that the Europeans are a little less willing to accept that Americans accept more readily. Like there's no more France and England, and then there's different cultures, blah blah blah. Like it's all fucking national now. It's all global now, you know? There's no more such thing as like, oh, I'm a real American. It's like, no. America is a fucking melting pot, you know.
Haven't you seen that Super Bowl commercial? Everyone's American. Come on.
I didn't see it, but I could imagine. But it's true, you know, like you are what America looks like, Reggie. A fucking Haitian Nicaraguan.
Me?
Yeah, that's what America looks like. You know?
You don't so, for real, Mr. Mike? Is
yeah,
that what America
for real.
Looks
You're
like?
Look at this little Haitian Nicaraguan black boy that speaks Spanish. He's what America looks like today. You know, it's true. And like, I think like just because in America we have so our history is so brief that we can be like, okay, you're an American. That's an ideology. That's
yeah.
That's a way
the youngest
of thinking.
Country.
You
like,
know,
we're only like probably like 300, 400 years old. Like,
yeah, so that yeah, exactly. It's like a way of thinking. Well, we're like 200 something years old. Not
oh, really?
400, not 400 years old. No.
Oh, okay. Well, 200.
Declaration
See,
of Independence.
Even younger.
The bicentennial was in 1976, so 240 years old or something. Like that.
There you go. Even younger. Check that out. America is like still being an asshole, you know? Like, he's still like, man, I don't give a shit. I got a whole ton of money. Like, you know, my parents disowned me. I said, bye, you assholes.
Yeah, but Europe refuses to, like, they have such a long history. So, like, they're like, I'm French because my parents were French and my parents before me were French. And then these Muslim motherfuckers are not French. And then.
Yeah, and exactly.
Then they riot.
You know what? I don't really agree. Like, okay. Why is it that people really love defending free speech? Like, I get it. I'm not saying that you shouldn't. Yeah. I get it. It's very important. But I've never seen any other right, like, get such, like, such, you know, such fervor behind it than free speech. Like, I'm gonna be honest.
Mm-hmm.
When I haven't seen a political cartoon since civic class in seventh grade.
Yeah.
All right. I don't think political cartoons are the bastion of free speech here. If I had to be totally honest, we could probably still be as political without political cartoons.
Yeah.
Like, no one's drawing, like, man, I'm going to draw this snake and I'm going to cut it in pieces and then I'm going to put Obama on top of it. Yeah, there you go.
That was original Benjamin Franklin's original sketch of the Live Free.
Yeah.
Together. Like, what was the caption on that? It's like a...
like, together...
or die or some shit. I don't fucking remember.
Yeah, something like that. Like, political cartoons were great, like, when Benjamin Franklin was doing it. Because there wasn't, like...
Join or Die. That's what it was.
Join or die. Yeah, yeah, Join or Die. See, that's when political cartoons were like, oh, man, this is really making me think. But right now, like, you can listen to this podcast and hear very weak political stances. Like, come on, a political cartoon, are we really that worried about that? Is that what we're...
Well, I think the problem is like, that's the underpinning of our society, is the ability to criticize, you know, the government and, you know, just criticize in general. And once you stifle that out, you got a fucking Brave New World situation going on. And it's like, shit, we need, you know, it's something that needs to be defended. And like, this is a problem because, yeah, it's just a satirical magazine, but the magazine isn't just political cartoons, but, I think, and you know, you need to defend it because if that goes away, then you're fucked. And then it turns into Brave New World or 1984 or some shit, even though we're closer to Brave New World than we are in 1984. You know, so that's why people feel so, and also it gives them an excuse to talk about how much they hate Muslims. So that's good for them. I mean, if anyone has a chance to talk about how much they hate Muslims, they fucking jump on that shit. See what's wrong with it? These fucking Muslims.
The thing about, like, free speech is, like, okay, free speech isn't going inside of a movie theater and yelling, yeah, fire. That's not free speech. Like, you're,
yeah,
free to say
is,
that.
Yeah, but this isn't, I don't think it's an apt analogy for this.
No, I was trying to get into more, but, like, that's not free speech. Free speech, yeah, I understand, is, like, you know, you're allowed to express or criticize, right? Like,
yeah,
that's, like, you're allowed to express or criticize or, like, you know, make comment on, like, whatever it is that you see unfit or unjust. And, like, hopefully that leads to, like, a good, like, discussion with whatever,
yeah,
it is that you're commenting on or the people that feel like they're against what you're saying, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I guess I just want to talk more about, like, just talking and, like, what people say and, like, how now people say things is very different than it was before.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay. Like, I think... All right, so, like, the word cripple, right?
Yeah.
Cripple. Like, if you look back, that was the accepted term.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was cripple. Like, it wasn't offensive. It was like, hey, excuse me, cripple. Tom, sorry.
Little Timmy's,
you know,
a cripple.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
uh-huh,
there's even a school. Like, I was actually talking about this with a theater patron called Chris.
Mm-hmm.
Chris, he's on a wheelchair.
Yeah.
And he was talking to me about, he's like 50 years old, and he's telling me, like, oh yeah, there used to be, like, I used to go to a school called the Cripple Training Academy. Like, wow. That's where I used to go. That's where I went. And then he saw the evolution of the word from cripple all the way to what it is now, like, you know, handicapped, you know, handicapable, and then like physically challenged and all that stuff. He saw he saw the change. And like, it just seems to me like, oh, like, what are we, where, what's okay to say, you know? Like, I understand, like on my Facebook feed, you saw like a lot of comics talk about how, like, if you can't take a joke, then like, why are you listening or something like that? Or like, what's wrong with a joke? You're allowed to say whatever you want.
Yeah.
But I personally don't think you're allowed to say whatever you want. At least
I think
not,
you are. I think you should be, but you should also be willing to accept the criticism.
Yeah, that's okay. Now criticism.
Yeah.
Criticism. Okay, if the way you criticize is by shooting someone, that's definitely no way to criticize.
Uh huh.
That's definitely like killing someone. That's not criticism.
Didn't care much for the closer.
Exactly. Yeah, you don't do that. Mm-hmm. You don't do that. But you should be able to. See, I think a lot of these people fighting for free speech, I totally agree with it. I am right behind you. But you also need to, the other person, like, criticism is also part of free speech, and I think a lot of people forget this. Mm-hmm. It's like when people make the rape jokes, like when the rape joke debate comes back again.
Yeah,
it's
like,
okay, look, you're allowed to make that joke. You're allowed to make it. But just like Carmen Esposito says something beautiful about it, and I can't bring it up. So look it up, listeners. Carmen Esposito also has a great album. You can make that joke, but you have to be aware that, like, one, you may or may not have lived through the experience as that individual that, like, either got raped or almost got raped, right? And just because this is the nature of the business and this is the nature of talking in general, you should be open to criticism about it. And that should, like, push you forward to do better, or at least, like, you know, make you consider what you're saying. Because it's very important to consider what you're saying.
Yeah.
So I guess I just kind of want more, like, I want people to be more accepting of criticism.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, a lot of like, talking is all context. Like, it's like when people say, it's like when people use the N-word, all right?
Yeah.
If you're, okay, if I'm looking at a dictionary.
By the way, you're being a real N-word right now.
I don't know which one you're using, so I'm feeling pretty cool or pretty offended. but it's the context of the podcast.
You being my nigga right now. That's what I meant to say.
Oh, okay. Like, if you open up a dictionary and the word, you know, the bad N-word, if nigger jumps out of the dictionary, like the physical word jumps out of the dictionary, hops around and leaves your house, you go chasing after it and you say, stop that nigger.
You eat
a bunch
of mushrooms first to get this to happen.
That's also the context. Like, you're saying,
Reggie,
that within
where are you going with this? I'm trying to follow. I don't quite understand what you're saying.
What I'm trying to say is that, like, a lot of people will, like, rob like free speech of its context. Like, it's like, that's what I mean. And if you rob, like, language out of its context, then you take out the whole, like, you know, the nucleus,
purpose
of
language
of it,
in the first place.
Exactly. And, like, when you defend free speech, you also, it's very multifaceted.
It's
and,
a
like,
two-way street.
It's a two-way street. Exactly. That's what I'm trying to say. And, like, I was jumping around with my examples, but it's just, like, that's just a couple of things, like...
Yeah, I mean, you gotta be willing to take criticism, you know? Like, and I think a lot of people think they should just be beyond reproach, but I think the rule with free speech is don't be hacky about it, you know? Because that's a problem. That's a problem with any sort of offensive joke, is that it's hacky. Because if it's not hacky, it's beyond reproach. Like, if a joke's really good, it's beyond reproach, in my opinion. Like you can make a rape joke that's funny as long as you do it in the right context. I mean, I think that it's so hard to make a good rape joke because there's not very many contexts in which that is funny. But, I've heard good ones out here. But like, it's just like the problem, I think, is that usually what people say is like they use it in order to get like shock value, and shock value is not, most of the time, is just not funny. You know, it's like, oh, you're just shocking. Okay. Fuck you. You know, that's not, that just shocking does not equal funny automatically, which a lot of people, I think, like, that's why a lot of comics sometimes, I know I'm guilty of this, like, you start off a little dirtier, and then because you just have this microphone, you're like, wow, I can say these horrible things in front of people and they have to listen, this is crazy. And then you start realizing, or at least I did, that it's like, you know, dirtiness and shock value are not an excuse, do not replace good writing. So I find myself always airing, like, I find myself writing much cleaner material just because it doesn't have to be dirty to be funny. Like if you're trying to prove a point that's dirty, then yeah, okay, cool. But it's like, you shouldn't be dirty just for the sake of being dirty, in my opinion, because then that you're working your way around just being a good writer, you know?
Yeah. I think that's a good rule of thumb to take into it. Just don't be hacky. And I mean that, and we mean that with all speech. Just don't be, you know, like, don't be a bit more like conscious of it and be a lot smarter with how you approach it. Because, you know, I think people forget that there are individuals that will take offense. Yeah. I mean, in some cases, like it was, remember, do you remember when we started saying happy holidays instead of just Merry Christmas everywhere?
Yeah. Yes, it was Mr. like around, O'Reilly, I remember that.
Well, it was around like 2007 or whatever.
Yeah.
And like a Walgreens employee told this woman, oh, Merry Christmas. And then she got offended because she doesn't celebrate Christmas. And then it led into this whole thing. And like, you know, now who knows what happened to that Walgreens employee. I think like that is one extreme case that I think is not, there isn't a lot of those, is there? But it just,
I mean,
your speech, like, your anger towards something should not affect someone's life in a way that it just either ends it or, you know, ruins it completely.
Yeah.
Like, Merry Christmas is no reason for someone to lose their job.
I think with these terrorists, and this is just my opinion, excuse me, my uneducated opinion, but I think that the terrorists want what anybody wants, or any greedy person wants, or what any murderous person wants in history, is they just want power. And Islam is just a means to that power. You know, there's a million different tools. You could be like, look at fucking Stalin. You know, he was an atheist and he did horrible fucking things to people. You don't need the banner of, it's like, it's not Islam, it's the problem. It's people that take Islam and use it to their will in this negative way, you know? And people, I think a lot of times people don't realize how different the Muslim world is. Like, they don't think of, like Afghanistanis don't think of Afghanistan in the way that we think of Afghanistan. They don't,
they don't
have the contrast depth of a country that we have. You know, they feel more allied to their village or whatever than they do to their country as a whole. Like, the Islamic world does not view, you know, a secular state in the same way that we do, you know? So people are using Islam for attaining power. Like, they don't give a fuck about being offended. Like, maybe some of the foot soldiers do, you know, maybe some of the indoctrinated, uneducated people that carry out the attacks. But I think higher up, what they really care about is power. You know, they want to take over Afghanistan. Why? Because they believe that there should be a worldwide caliphate. Well, yeah, but not because they believe so strongly that they want non-believers. They just want the fucking power. They want to, and they find that, you know, they find context in the Quran to attain that power. You know, like the church has done that in the past. You know, but
yeah,
they've kind of turned into something different now. But yeah. You know, they don't, they do it more through soft power than hard power now, but now Islam, I think, is just at the point where they're just doing it through hard power, you know?
Yeah, I see where you're coming from. And I mean, that's what everyone's seeking. I mean, you know, you've heard I forget his name. The Josh Silverman joke where he's like, these people want to bring it back to the past because the past was awesome for them.
Yeah.
like these people want to bring back like laws or whatever. Like they just want to bring it back to when it was good for them.
Yeah, because the height of the Muslim world was like thousands of years ago. Like Baghdad used to be the shit, you know?
Yeah.
Europe used to be full of fucking yokels. But Baghdad, that was the shit, you know? That was like New York times 20. Not so much anymore. But it used to be. So they want to bring it back.
Yeah. So it's just like I hope people like, you know, keep that in mind moving forward. Like there was a social media movement. Like, I mean, it was to your original point, like asking like Muslim people to like, you know, defend themselves or moderates like to defend themselves and all that stuff. Like there was a social media movement where like, you know, they were coming out like hashtag this or that.
Yeah.
And like, I just hope people going forward, keep in mind that like, one, it's a small minority that very successfully and unfortunately very successfully like managed to make a big stir, because that's what terrorism tries to do.
Yeah.
It's like isolated, like quick, you know, guerrilla attacks that just want to cause terror. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, the satirical magazine wasn't even like a prime location. It wasn't like, let's say, the American Airlines Arena. You know what I mean? Like it was this one. It was this
they
one
certainly
location.
Made a statement, you know?
Yeah, exactly. It made a statement. And that's the point. Like they wanted to make a statement. I just hope moving forward that like people, and it's very hard to drill this and make people understand, but this is a small minority and it does not reflect everybody. Just like, you know, like if one person from a racial group kills, you know, a bunch of people.
Well, I think it goes a little bit beyond race, though, because race, you know, you don't have the same kind of ideological cohesion in race that you do in religion.
True,
you know? Yeah. But it's a huge religion, and there's a million different countries, you know? So it's like, there's modern... And, like, that's what a lot of the terrorist attacks and shit that, yes, it's under the banner of Islam, but it's like... Like, what's the solution? Like, what's the means to the end by shitting on Islam? You know, it's like, what, you're going to get rid of Islam? Like, you're going to ban it? No, you it's going to be there. It's there to stay. How do you deal with it? You know, and I understand there's sections in the Quran that could be interpreted very violently, but I don't know, man. It's like
I think all the good books could probably be interpreted very well.
Yeah, but it's like a moderate Muslim in America, like why the fuck, like, and I kind of get it as a Jew, right? How it's like people talk about, oh, there's a worldwide Jewish conspiracy, like or Israel's doing this, and then they put it under the umbrella of Jews. I'm like, I don't fucking live in Israel. I don't know what the fuck is going on there. Like, I hear about it in the news, whatever. Like, it's not like I talk to my cousin Shlomo and I'm like, hey, keep building that wall, you know? Like,
like, yeah.
I don't like the idea that there's a worldwide Jewry that like is interconnected and shit. Like, what the fuck? If it was, I wish it was, then I'd probably, you know, be doing better in this business. Like, like, yeah, Jews run entertainment, but is it really a we? Because I don't know. I haven't gotten hooked up yet. I can't even get in a fucking assistant job. So, you know, like I kind of get it from that perspective, is like people think, oh, the Jews. Like, yeah, I'm a Jew, but I'm not the one advocating expansion into the West Bank. You know, I'm not the one saying
you're not signing
more settlements.
Off on that.
Yeah,
you're
I'm not signing. I have nothing to do with that.
No one's coming to Mike Marianoff to like, so who do we send rockets to again, Mike?
Like, it's Muslims must feel the same way. They're like, I have nothing to do with that. Like, I don't.
And it's
like,
very
those people are
though,
fucking
that, like,
crazy. Like, right-wing Orthodox Jews and me have nothing in common except for we have large noses. Other than that, and our hair is curly. Other than that, we have almost nothing in common, you know? And it's the same thing with, I'm sure that American Muslims are like, I don't fucking, or even like a lot of most, like 99% of French Muslims are like, I don't fucking have anything to do with that. Like, I don't give it, like, I don't, yeah, I don't drink, like, and shit, but I don't, like, I don't want to kill people. Why the fuck are you putting this shit on me? I have nothing to do with this. But I don't know, you know, it so happens that, fucking, but you get I guarantee you strip away Islam fucking the heads of Al-Qaeda and ISIS are still going to be trying to get to do shit and to make moves, you know? And it's like, who supports them? Like the leaders of Iran, the leaders of Syria, like who gives them money? You know, it's these big players that just want to have more power in a region, you know? And then you can convince the little people to advocate for that kind of stuff and to, you know, commit violent acts in your name. So you can, so those people might believe, oh, I'm doing this in the name of Islam, but the end goal is not that, you know? I think there's a great, you ever seen the documentary Jesus Camp before? Right?
No.
All right. So Jesus Camp is about Christian summer camps, right? Like evangelical Christian summer camps, right? And they take it all the way to the top, okay? And who's that reverend? I forget his name. He had sex and did meth with this male prostitute, right?
Oh, that was like something right. It was Reverend Jeremiah Wright?
No, I don't think that was it.
Prostitute,
sex with male prostitutes. Ted Haggard, that was his name, right? Yeah,
I was way off.
I googled sex with prostitutes, and he was the second result. Awesome.
What was the first result?
Yeah, it was male prostitution on Wikipedia. Yeah, Ted Haggard. So Ted Haggard's having sex with male prostitutes,
about,
right?
Like male prostitutes.
What
like,
is male prostitution? Oh, it's when you have sex with a male. When you're a male and you have sex with people for money. Interesting. Probably has a history of it. But anyway, so it has a rich history going all the way back to the Roman times and probably before. So yeah, like Ted Haggard was having sex with a male prostitute and doing methamphetamine with him. And he was leading the fight against homosexuality in the White House, right? So he's interviewed in Jesus Camp, right? Before this whole thing went down. And he's like, okay, so how many evangelical Christians are there in the country? It's like so many million. He's like, if you take those people out to the polls, you can sway an election. You can get George Bush elected, which is what happened, right? So it's like this guy, he's rallying against gay people and he's gay, right?
Yeah.
So, and he says on tape, this you can sway elections with my evangelical flock. So what does he really care about? Getting rid of gay people? About
or
Christianity?
Just
or just
or
about power?
Under
he
one
cares
banner.
About fucking power, right? But then you look at this woman who works in an evangelical Christian camp, right? And she really, she drinks the Kool-Aid and she's like, we just need to steer these kids towards Jesus and away from homosexuality and those kind of sins, right? So
yeah,
the foot soldiers believe that it's for one reason, but the fucking big picture is like, people trying to attain power. That's what I think, personally.
So like, yeah, so like the foot soldiers, people actually out there in the front lines working and doing hard and like in the example you brought forth, like, you know, drinking the Kool-Aid, helping these kids out, singing the songs, playing the guitars.
Yeah,
they're
yeah.
all like in this. This is their life and they want to spread the word of the Lord and all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But once you go like a couple rings up that ladder and you find the guy pulling the strings,
yeah,
the person pulling the strings, they're like, this is how I'm going to finally get like this legislation passed. I'm going to make these words like
the
sound
guy,
this
the guy
way.
Met with George Bush every week, like every fucking
yeah.
week they met. It's like, huh, I don't know. Is there a connection there? I'm not sure. No,
yeah,
of course
like,
there is.
What did George Bush like, is he like, God, what was it? I was going to say like, is George Bush like, yeah, I'll take that. You made a good shot. You made a good hit against the gays today. Like, there we go. Nice power meeting. We're out.
Black and Jew podcast. We're anti-cohesive thoughts. But he's like fucking someone in the, a guy in the ass doing meth and saying like gays, being gays wrong. Like,
and you know, he's done that many times before he got
yeah.
caught.
Oh, of course. That's
you
what he was
know,
doing all the
it's
time.
Like Tiger Woods. He was doing that many times before he got caught.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Ooh, so much meth, so much gay.
So much meth, so much gay. Yeah, dude. So, like, I think that's the situation here with Islam, and it's great, and it polarizes people, it drives people away, you know? Like, it's just wonderful. Wraps them up in a neat little package for them. And it's so easy to indoctrinate people, You know? Like, you can indoctrinate people to believe whatever the fuck you want if you start early enough. Like, I love the Dolphins. Why? Because I was born there? I have no reason to feel passionately about whether the Dolphins win or lose a sports game.
No one has any reason to feel passionate about any sports team.
Yeah, but we, like, you indoctrinate a kid, you dress him up in aqua and orange from a young enough age.
I see it.
Then they feel
diehard
about the Dolphins. Like, why do I hate the Jets? Why?
They would.
Who cares? I have nothing to do with them, but I do. I don't like them or the Patriots, you know, don't care for them. Because they're in our division, that's a stupid reason to hate something, but I can't help it because I've been indoctrinated.
This, like, I used to see kids with, like, their head, like, with mohawks, like little kids. And on the side of their heads, they'd make a design of the Heat logo.
Yeah.
Like, that's, yeah, it's real easy to indoctrinate. Like, there's no people
want. What's the
difference
between,
like,
go Heat and blowing yourself up? There's frighteningly little difference in the process, the ease of which, you know, it's like, it's pretty fucking crazy how that works, you know?
Yeah. Go Heat, by the way. So, yeah, I just, it's very troublesome. Hearts go out to everyone that was affected by this tragedy.
Seriously, man, that's a horrible way to go.
It is.
They had huge fucking balls, though. That guy said, one of the guys that was killed said, like, I'd rather live on my feet, or I'd rather die on my feet than live on my knees. And he literally talked about standing up for what you believe in. Holy shit, you know? Like, he defended it to the end, you know? He didn't capitulate.
Yeah. I mean, I love Oreos, but I won't take a bullet for Oreos.
For Oreos. Very important.
And I don't know if you've ever had an Oreo, but whoo.
No, for Reggie, I'm sure these people have never had an Oreo.
I want a listener to, like, email us, like, hey, I just had an Oreo. I think I'm ready.
I'd like a listener to email us at all. I'd like any sort of feedback on this podcast. That isn't from my aunts. No offense, Aunt Stelly, but
you're a wonderful lady.
Sometimes it feels like you're the only person who listens to this. And Christine finally figured out how to use a podcasting app. So now she's listening to other more interesting podcasts like Serial.
Dang it. You've been the one in control of that. Like, just like,
Cornered the market. I've cornered the Christine market. And unfortunately, now we have other players in the market. So
100% of Christines listen to the Black and Jew podcast. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. 100% of them listen to the Black and Jew podcast. Oh, our numbers are slipping. Now that you found other podcasts. Yeah.
I still need to listen to that. Need to. Do you know that Slate released an anniversary article about podcasting, and they listed like the top 10 podcast episodes? Surprise, Black and Jew didn't make the list, but you know, it made the list
huge
as number
surprise.
One. Number one was Marc Maron's interview with Louis C.K. Very good.
That's a great podcast. That's the first podcast episode I've ever listened to of any podcast.
Oh, really?
Damn, yeah, Marc Maron is the podcast that that got me into podcasting.
The very first podcast I started listening to was Extra Life Radio, which it was like three webcomic artists that would meet every week, and then they just like recap or talk about nerdy things and movies and stuff like that. And I was listening to that like back in like middle school, like
cool,
like I really liked that. They don't do it anymore. They it stopped. But like, shouts out to Extra Life Radio. I haven't visited the websites. I stopped reading webcomics a long time ago.
So many webcomics are just the fucking worst thing ever.
Oh yeah, like Control Alt Delete.
I don't know that one.
It's a horrible webcomic. Ugh.
I used to read a Penny Arcade when I was...
That one sucks, too.
Back in the day, back when I was a little jit.
I used to read...
When the internet was still young.
Yeah. I used to read so many webcomics. Every day would be like... You know, depending on the update schedule of the webcomic, like in a week, I'd have like 10 comics I'd check. And then like I'd still look at some more and stuff like that. So, yeah. And webcomics are cool. Don't read them anymore. But if you got webcomics, guys, you can email us. Tell us about them.
Yeah, tell us about anything. Tell us how your day went. I'm just desperate for any sort.
We actually
any
would,
sort of feedback.
We'd love if one of you sent us like an email about your day, we'd discuss your day.
We would discuss it. We would break it down.
We'd break
Speaking
it down.
Speaking of which, something tangentially related, there's this improv troupe called Facebook here, and there's a show every week, right? That they get suggestions for their sketches by looking at someone's Facebook profile in the audience.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Isn't that awesome?
That is awesome. You know what? That's honestly one of the most brilliant concepts I've heard this week. And this week just started. So good. Shouts out to Facebook.
Still got a few days before something brilliant comes up.
No, that tops
it. I feel like Facebook
right there.
Facebook's going to stay there. You know, stay in the run for the most interesting one. Yeah, you know, I don't know like how much more. It's hard to sit through a lot of live comedy. I'll be honest, like I don't know if it's like my ADD, but it wears
live
you down.
Comedy is like a cigarette. Like each comic is a cigarette. that's another one. You know, that's what
true.
Live comedy. If you're doing comedy, okay. If you're watching comedy as just an observer, like an audience member,
yeah.
The most you should ever watch is just 10 comics, and that's pushing it. Yeah. If you're a comic. And you
no,
do,
47. And stick around for all 47.
47. No. 10 comics. All right. If you're a comic trying to practice your stuff, you need to sit through all of them. I'm sorry. You got to sit through all of them until you're done. But like each one just takes something out of you, man.
You're really selling this live comedy. Oh, by the way, come to Cosplay Haha tonight. Get a little piece of you taken out of you for every comic. Yeah, I don't know what it is. Like, I actually saw Louis C.K. on Sunday.
What? You saw him on Sunday?
Yep, saw
That's
him on
crazy.
Sunday. Yep, saw him on Sunday. He came to L.A. I think he was doing a show because he was doing the Golden Globes. It was like 13,000 people at this state, the Forum in Inglewood. And it was fucking great. Like, it's just to be at that point in your career, that's amazing. Most, like 90% of people never get there, but 90% of established comics never get there, but yeah, it was the Todd Glass open for him. It was great, you know, and like just he could rest assured that like 90% of the people there are there to see him, and the other 10% are probably, you know, girlfriends that got dragged along or boyfriends that got dragged along or whatever.
Come on, babe, we're gonna see Louis.
I don't even know who this guy is. He's weird, but yeah, it was great. But just like the ease he has. It's just like crazy. Like you could just, it's like when someone's been doing it for 30 years, it's just like, and it's weird because the way he makes it feel like, it doesn't feel like he's doing it in front of 13,000 people. It feels like he's doing it.
Like he's just talking to you. Like,
yeah.
It's just for you, Mike. It's just for you.
It was just for me, but it was really,
I would love if I could just I just want to see how it's done. Like, I just want to be inside the body of the person, not take over it. Just like, kind of just like take a front seat ride on how like that show gets done. You know, like how you walk in front of like 13,000 people. You said 1,300, right?
13,000.
13,000 people. Yeah, you walk in front of 13,000 people and then just go. I want to see that, and I want to feel how that is. Like, I want to see the circuits and the neurons firing, making that happen. Like, oh my gosh! Like, the most I've ever performed in front of was like 100 plus.
Yeah,
and like I could see how that works, but oh my gosh! Like 13,000.
Yeah, that's pretty fucking
See, I can't even
crazy.
Fathom 1,300.
And it's like just like pulling into the parking lot. I'm like, dude, I'm like, all these people in a parking lot are coming out to see
this one person.
And I'm like,
this one person
I'm
is
like,
a
that
sack
group
of
flesh people,
like me and you.
I couldn't even get as many people that are in that fucking Passat next to me to come see me.
I can't even like bring like 10 people up with me to Fort Lauderdale to do like the comedy show up there, you know? Like
I can't get a minivan full of people to come see me.
Yeah. I can't get my parents to come see me. But then again, to be fair, they've seen me enough. they're older people and
they don't want to see
their young boy talk about like dicks or whatever.
And it was funny how he's like, "Yeah, I wish my favorite line of the night though is he was like, yeah, you know, you're so old that you don't have a wallet anymore. Like, he was talking about some old person. He's like, sold, you know? I'm like, that is fucking genius. He's like,
that is
he's
so
like, you're just
true.
So old, you don't have a wallet anymore.
Yes.
And like, and he's like, it's like, you know, grandpa's looking for his wallet. Where's my wallet? Hey, where are you going? Are you going to the diarrhea store? We got plenty of diarrhea here. You're not going anywhere. Like, it was so fucking great. That's such a brilliant image.
It's a brilliant image because everyone has seen it. I've seen people, like the old people that come to the cinema, take out a rubber band. Like, it's just like, I only have this because I need all the things, all the money to stay together. I need all my plastic and paper to stay together.
It's got a bill clip or whatever.
I've seen, like, I just see old guys just pull out, like, a wallet wad. Like, just, like, a wad of, like, the business cards they've collected over their 90-plus years, their credit cards.
This
and,
one's
like,
from the
an old
Eisenhower administration.
Bill. Exactly. And an old Confederate bill that they...
An old Confederate bill.
They took off their father's cigar box.
I was a union boy, but, you know, you could sometimes buy better tobacco with these little silverbacks.
That's brilliant.
Whatever the fuck they're called. Yeah, it was great. It only took him 30 years to do, so that gives you hope, you know?
That does give me hope. 30 years is like...
Gives you some hope.
So, yeah, like, some people don't even get to do what they love in like for 30 years or, like, work towards what they love for 30 years. So I think, like... Even if it will take me a while.
Some people don't even get to do what they mildly enjoy.
Yeah, exactly.
Some people don't even get to do what they don't hate.
Yeah, exactly. So if what you love takes you a long time to do, but you're doing it like successfully enough, then go you.
Awesome.
Go you.
So you want to wrap it up, buddy?
Yeah, let's wrap it up. I wanted to talk about like my obsession with like Japanese school supplies and office supplies.
We'll save that barrel of fun for next week.
And I also want to talk about my newfound appreciation for gear. But
next week.
All right, listen, tune in for that. All right, listeners.
Okay.
In the meantime, you can catch me at Casa de Jaja tonight and every other second Tuesday of every month at 8 at Sweat Records. All right, me, Alan Medina, and a bunch of great comedians come together, bring you a phenomenal show. Please come out.
So until next time, guys.
See ya.